Good afternoon and welcome to EverBank Pregame here on Jaguars.com. Brian Sexton along with Jeff Lagerman and the Jaguars today host the Indianapolis Colts, who have owned the AFC South. And Jeff, that's something the Jaguars say they want to do, but you got to beat these guys if you want to do that.
They've got 16 consecutive AFC South wins in a row, and here's something else to add to that. Chuck Pagano following a loss, which they did lose to the Pittsburgh Steelers in Pittsburgh last weekend. He is 16-4 following a loss. Not an easy task to overcome. Now, we've seen the last 2 weeks have been streak breakers.
Yeah.
The Chargers had lost six in a row. They ended up getting a win. The Titans ended up getting a win because they had lost 11 consecutive at home. Let's hope that this breaks the Jaguars' lost streak against the Colts and their division streak.
Well, let's start with the obvious. There's no Andrew Luck for the second time this season when the Jaguars play the Colts. Can they beat Matt Hasselbeck?
Well, I hope so, but Matt Hasselbeck has been very good. This is going to be his sixth start today. He's 4-1 in his previous five starts that he's had for the injured Andrew Luck. He's been good, but the simple fact is he's a 40-year-old quarterback that doesn't possess the arm strength that he once had. You look at T.Y. Hilton's numbers, they're down this year because T.Y. Hilton is a deep ball threat. Dante Moncrief's numbers are up. He's an inside type of player. So for the Jaguars, you've got to pressure Matt Hasselbeck early and often and send the message that if you're going to be a 40-year-old quarterback and play in this league, it's a young man's game, and we're going to make you pay.
Well, now, last week they got aggressive there on that second, third, and eight deep in their territory, and Marcus Mariota beat him. That's not going to happen today, so do they go crazy in blitz?
I think there's a different approach. I think early you blitz them to let them know that we're coming for you because we know that you were hurt last week. But then I think you back off a little bit because it is a risk-reward type situation when you send five and six men pressure. I think there's going to be some changes up front for the Jaguars defensively as well. Ryan Davis is inactive with a knee injury. We're going to have Chris Smith up, and he's going to get repetitions at that Leo position because the productivity of Branch and Clemens hasn't been where they'd like it to be. And I also look for maybe some changes in the back end. The production hasn't been great as far as the coverage and the spacing and zone coverages. I think they're going to mix things up in the back end.
Well, will that impact the tight end? Because the last couple of weeks, the tight ends have gotten to the Jaguars. I think Jonathan Cyprian's given up a touchdown each of the last 2 weeks. And here's the key. Kobe Fleener had a touchdown, 80 yards. But more importantly, when the game was on the line, he caught a 28-yard pass to set up their game-winning field goal. And you knew what was going to him.
Yeah, but you're right. And one of the guys that is going to be tasked with that is Jonathan Cyprian. Week in and week out, Jonathan has not become a consistent player. He needs to become more of a consistent player. 1 week he looks great. The next week he's off kilter in his zone drops. He's got to be a better player for the Jaguars. The one that I'm concerned most about is Frank Gore. And why do I say Frank Gore? Because he's only averaging 3.6 yards a rush. Well, he's a factor in the passing game. He's a comfort blanket type. When I say blanket type, like Linus,
Okay, I watched the Snoopy special this week.
That's the kind of player that he is for Matt Hasselbeck. And you're trying to play against him in this game without Paul Posluszny, who is inactive with the hand fracture, and you're starting a first-year player for Montana and Jordan Tripp.
How's that going to go?
Well, I don't know. I mean, that's a great question. You know, Jordan Tripp wasn't even going to start over Thurston Armbrister at the auto position last week. Armbrister had to play poorly for Jordan Tripp to get in on the field. You know, so what do we expect? To be honest with you, Brian, I don't know what to expect, but I know one thing. It's not going to be as good as if Paul Posluszny were in the lineup.
All right, now we can talk about the defense ad nauseum. Obviously, they've been the topic this week. But what the Jaguars really need is that offense to go back out there and fire on all cylinders like they did last week. If they do that, it seems to me the Jaguars win this ballgame.
Yes, because I don't think the Colts can score like what the Jaguars did last week. Now, do you expect the Jaguars offense to replicate what they did last week?
Yes.
6 of 6 in the red zone.
Is that too much?
71% on third down. That might be a little much. A-Rob getting his 11th touchdown. I don't think
it means he's not going to get three every week?
It doesn't have to be at that level. But it can be good enough. And, right. You know, Allen Hurns is returning back to the offense. I think that's going to help. Brian Walters is down, which is fine because Brian Walters has been ailing with a little bit of a back injury. So no issues there. Rashad Green is active. That's a real positive for the Jaguars, especially in the return game.
I'm thinking ahead. So, you know, hit the brakes on me if I have to. But you saw what happened last week with Allen Robinson. We know how Allen Hurns has grown. We've seen Julius Thomas a couple of weeks. Can they get the ball to Marquise Lee and Rashad Greene? Are there enough targets? Are there too many targets for Blake Bortles?
Well, there's enough targets if you're sustaining drives. And the Indianapolis Colts have some issues in today's game now. Greg Toller, Eric Walden, Jarrell Freeman, three starters on the defense for the Colts are going to be down for the count. That's good news for the Jaguars. If you sustain drives and convert, I don't want to say 71%, but let's say
69.
65% on third down.
Yes.
Then all of a sudden you can get up into that 70-plus plays on offense, and then there's enough balls for everybody.
Let's end on this. Gus Bradley said Monday that there's time for his defense to get it right before the season is done. The intimation was from the media that, well, you can't fix that this year. And Gus said, we can play better. We can get it right.
Now, here's the question that I ask you. What level are we talking about fixing it?
Well, I'm asking you what they can do.
Well, if it's here right now, they can take it to here. They can't take it to here. They just don't have the personnel to be able to do it. You got to have more speed on defense. You have to have more edge players that can affect the passer. And quite honestly, the Jaguars don't have that on defense, and that's going to be task number one for Dave Caldwell in the offseason.
Jeff Lockerman, everybody. Have a great broadcast.
Thank you, Brian.
All right, we'll bring in the senior writer, who I think we established is part of this fine site last week. Or did we say that you were the fine senior writer?
It's fine. Whatever.
Exactly. John Osher.
I think they can get to right here, by the way. I saw all this. I think they can get to right there. How about that?
All right, well, let's go on that then. What can they do better today? What do you expect them to do better?
I think
John?
It all goes back, and we wrote and talked about it so much all week, right? I think all the stuff that ails them on defense can be fixed if you get off the field on third down. And that's really been the Achilles heel all year. And it really bit him last week, but it's been him all season. This team has gotten in third and six, third and eight, third and seven a lot to where after those first two downs, how many times have you watched this team after the first two downs this year and said, all right, here we go. They're getting off. And then the quarterback stands for 5 seconds, and then it's a 15-yard pass, and they're going, and they're on the opponent's 45-yard line. So figure out a way to get home on third down, and I think in spurts at least, you can get to here. Because run defense has been pretty good overall, but now you're without Paz. So that's your next question.
Well, actually, before I get to Paz,
right.
We talked, they got a little greedy last week. You know, they caused that sack strip that set up Julius's touchdown, which gave them the lead, and then they tried it again, and Mariota beat them for the long touchdown down the field. Can they be greedy today against a quarterback that can't beat them?
Well, it certainly,
with his legs, I should say.
It certainly seems like you could be a little more aggressive on that front. At the same time, the norm is that you're not worried about the quarterback running. The norm with blitzing is that he gets the ball out to a receiver, and Hilton beats you all the way,
right?
Which can also happen. So, Gus was not being silly early in the season when he said, I don't know if we can do this all the time. I mean, if blitzing all the time worked, you know what teams would do, Brian?
They blitz all the time?
Yeah, that would be what they do.
Yeah. So it wouldn't be blitzing. It would just be playing defense.
Right. So especially when you're not built that way, you can't blitz all the time. At the same time, against a quarterback like Hasselbeck, who all of a sudden looked a little older than he had looked in his first four starts last week, you want to get pressure. I don't know that you can confuse him, but you can certainly harass him, get him off the spot. That's the same old song. That's the cliche against every quarterback who's not mobile. That's what you have to do. And you have to do it a little better today than you have in the past.
What can Jordan Tripp provide as the Jags' middle linebacker today?
Well, I think he can provide smarts, which Posluszny on Friday said he is. Said he gets this defense. He knows what's going on with his defense. There's a lot of trust in the locker room that he can get them in the right spots. Can he be that missile in the run game that Paz has been at times? I don't know if he's that. But that's what makes Paz a starting caliber long-term player. Jordan Tripp has to prove if he's that.
Well, can he do better in the interim than Thurston Armbrister did in Tampa starting at Mike? Because that day, and it may not be a fair comparison, but it is a comparison.
Oh, it's
You know, he stepped into the middle and Doug Martin turned him around and beat him all over the field.
Yeah, well, I hope he does better than that because that was, until last week, and really over all this season, that remains the only game where this defense got gashed by a running back. They gave up 220 last week or 210, whatever it was. But a lot of that was to Mariota on the scramble.
18 of it, right.
That doesn't feel like Tampa Bay without the Mariota scramble. So they have to do better against that. Doug Martin, looking back, was not quite as ridiculous as it seemed at the time because he's had a very good year. But Frank Gore probably wouldn't put up those kind of yards against that kind of defense, but he would certainly grind you down enough to let the Colts control the game. That's what they can't have out of Frank Gore today.
Can we see consistent performances from this offense like we did last week? I get it, right? 6 out of 6 in the red zone, 71% on third down, not that, not 39 points. But can we see them consistently move the chains and score in the red zone, whatever that means?
Well, I think you've seen them consistent most of the season outside the red zone. So there's been nothing to indicate to me so far that you're going to see this team go back to last year where you had those consecutive third and out droughts where you just wondered what in the heck they were doing.
Right.
Now, the question becomes, are they a better red zone team? I think they're probably, you know, this is the obvious answer. They're somewhere between that 1 out of 5 performance and a 6 out of 6. But I think they were even maybe a little better the week before. They had the 21-yard touchdown from Julius Thomas the week before. So they got 2 out of those 5 situations. If the red zone was a 21-yard line, we probably don't have
quite as much of a theme last week. Absolutely.
But where it was bad the week before was time and again when you lost control of the game early by not scoring red zone when the Chargers were. Yes, I think they'd be more consistent because I think Blake Bortles, over time, is starting to believe in what he has in Allen Robinson. When he rolls, he knows he can look to Robinson and knows Robinson is going to win a matchup. I think Julius Thomas is getting to the point where, like you feel the same way, Brian, he's not putting up huge stats, but in the last 3 weeks, he has won a lot of matchups because he was better than the guy covering him.
And he's drawn some coverages that have opened up other things.
And that's what you need in the red zone. To me now, it feels like they have two options where when Olsen throws in a play to Blake, and it's to those guys, Blake goes, yeah, that's what we're doing.
Well, how much does Hearns add to that then today?
Well, he adds a wrinkle that if those guys are covered or taken away, then there's clearly confidence in Hearns, Robinson, and now Julius Thomas. There was a lot of work on Blake's part and Julius's part to get to that confidence with them. To me, interesting today, Rashad Greene probably becomes the slot guy. How much is Marquise Lee involved? That will be interesting because I still believe in these last 4 games you have to find out what Marquise Lee is.
Final thought, T.J. Yeldon today. Jarrell Freeman is an outstanding middle linebacker. Uh-huh. He's out of the ball game. Eric Walden, I think, is underrated up front at 295 pounds. I think he is a bear to try to stop. So I would see the Jaguars' ability to run the ball, and they always have against Indianapolis.
Right.
It will be there. Did they take advantage of that today?
Well, how many times have we talked on this pregame show this year where you said that?
Well, I like the running game.
And you think it could happen, and yet it never quite gets to where it's dominating the game. I don't know that this is going to be a dominate the game run offense this year, but he ran for 100 up there, and it's certainly something where you've seen flashes of T.J. Yeldon, and I think it can be a factor. But I don't think with this offense this year, you're going to see a game where we're writing and talking after the game about they won the game with the running game. But it can be enough to make you think about it, which is where this offense needs it to be right now.
One more thought. And we talk about how you saw great receivers in Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne. And how good is Allen Robinson?
He has a chance to be really good. I was up in the press box last week, and Mike DiRocco, my friend from ESPN who covers the team, had tweeted out something about Allen Robinson and Jimmy Smith. I looked at D-Rock and went, whoa, they're big guys.
That's a big jump.
But the numbers he's putting up and the things that he's starting to do, meaning last week, second half, there was those moments where you're looking down and thinking, this kid's taking over the game. And the other coaches on the other side of the field were thinking, I don't know how to stop him from taking over the game. That's what you have to start building an offense. He does that for 7 or 8 years. Absolutely, he's elite. But to answer your question, he's joining that group of young receivers in the NFL who look like they might be elite. That's all you can ask out of the guy right now.
All right. That's John Osher, ladies and gentlemen. You can follow him all day on Twitter and Jaguars.com. He'll have first off the field and observations. All to look forward to as the Jaguars take on the Colts today. So, for Max Hochman, for Dave DeCandis, Pat Cavanaugh. Should we throw Shadrick in there?
He's doing radio.
Yeah. All right. So for John and I, have a great day.